My official working title is I'm now Professor Rebecca Duport, but I've been a DCE for 24 years. Blessed to have served in the states of Idaho, Kentucky, Arkansas. Sing it, girl. Come on. You were one of my volunteers. That's right. There she is. And Florida. All right. All right. And then now, after 16 years of serving across the country, God called me back to Concordia Irvine, where I attended as an undergrad and have spent the last 8 years working with young adults like Nathan and soon-to-be Eagles like Jonathan Dost right here. Stand up, Jonathan. He's going to be attending in the fall. So, and Dost is from Iowa. Wow. So see, like, Iowa kids, you can go to school in California. It is okay. And you can go into church work and be a DCE with me. So that's awesome. Awesome. And so we love that. So 8 years back in California working with young adults and teaching up students how to become full-time church workers. So not just my younglings that come to me as 18-year-olds, like yourselves, possibly like Dose. Wow, that's two times I've given you a shout-out. Wow. He's going to have high expectations as my student this fall. But we also do online certification for second-career adults or people that haven't gone to college. Or maybe they've done some college or they want to get a second bachelor's degree or another master's degree in theology to become DCEs. And some of those people are in this room. And so it's great. I get to work with young adults, but also adults in DCE preparation for ministry. So it's an exciting place at Concordia Irvine. And we'd love for you to come check out our free swag downstairs and our frisbee golf or disc golf arena that we have, and that's because we have 18 holes on our campus. So it's actually, that's why we have disc golf downstairs, in case you were wondering, to check that out. So a little bit more about me. This is a picture of my family Christmas card. So you're all on my Christmas list now, okay? So as you can see, there's lots of boys on there, isn't there? So no, this doesn't mean that I just have a youth group full of boys that I've worked with. There are actually four children that I minister to in my home as a mom and as a wife with my husband, Kyle, on the bottom right, who is a Lutheran school teacher. So we get to partner together in ministry for the larger church body, but also for those four ruffians that we have at our house. So those of you that know me, should I call out the son that's in the room right now? Stand up, Aaron. Now, those of you that know my family, if that was my firstborn, he would not have stood up, right? Yeah, let me give the amen to that. So, all right, so Aaron is in the room, and he's also on the screen, and he is like, why did I come to your session? Now they all know I'm in Boy Scouts. Okay, so good times. It's what happens when your mom's a speaker. So here we are today, and I love that you guys are here, and I love that I can look through all these people, and you're still wondering, what is the four-letter word? I've had some of your parents who know me text me this morning and ask me, what is the four-letter word I hear you're talking about? And I'm like, well, your child's just going to have to come find out. And I even had a youth leader say to me, you know what, our group came up with a lot of four-letter words, and I bet those aren't the ones you're going to talk about today. So you probably had those go through your head too. So I want to see from the group, just shout out, this is very, I know, it's like an open-ended question at a children's message. You have no idea what the kids are going to say, but let's just hear from you. What do you think the four-letter word is? Jesus would be five letters. Let's just clarify that. What'd you say? Hate. I'm hearing hate, love, pray, hope, help. Again, Jesus is five letters. Money is five letters. What was that? Faith. God is three letters. Oh my goodness, y'all have had online school way too long. You got a guess right here? No, Kessler, it's not Jesus. It's Iowa. No. We love Iowa in here. That's great. That's great. How far can I go? Woo. All right. So let's get to the next one. Do you use this four-letter word enough? Now, what I don't want to have happen, but maybe this is right when you have the urge to go to the bathroom, so it'll just be awkward for the presenter, nobody else, is that when you see the four-letter word, you're like, peace out. I'm going to bounce. This is not what I came to. But you're going to love it because you're going to learn about some things maybe that you hadn't learned before, or you're just going to be reminded and you're going to share to other people, especially maybe your youth leader at home. Are we ready? Can we get a drum roll? Louder, come on. Let's wake up the other sessions. Oh my gosh, Paul. There we go. Oh, let's get a rousing cheer like Texas. Come on. Y'all are killing me. You realize that? It could have been y'all. Like, that could be a four letter. Howdy's not four letters. All right. So we're going to talk about the gift of prayer, and I'm referencing a friend's book, and I have information at the end of this session, all by his permission, that you'll actually get a QR code that's not to give an evaluation. You're going to do that too, but you're going to get a QR code at the end for a copy of a free download for this. So that's pretty sweet. Let's get a yeehaw. Yeehaw. All right. So the gift of prayer is pretty amazing. So let's look at this quote together. You know what? I love reading out loud, but I want to hear you read out loud with me. Are we ready for this? Let's read this quote from Reverend Bob Hiller. So read it with me. Jesus, the five-letter word. Are we ready? Jesus has given you the gift of prayer. God the Father hears your prayers on account of Jesus Christ, who has given you the Holy Spirit, who drives you to pray. Prayer is a gift from the triune God given to all who believe. So let's just forget that I wrote payer up there, because that's a totally different session. That doesn't even relate here, okay? So thank you for reading with me. That was awesome. So here's something pretty great. In your baptism, Christ, your great high priest, he's cleansed you with his blood, giving you access to the Father. By calling you his friend, the Lord brings you in as a confidant and advisor, telling you God's will and inviting you to present your prayers and petitions before the Father in his name. So there's more, because on our own, we're sinners, and we have no business entering into God's holy presence, do we? We are pretty bad when it comes to, hey, we just said earlier, all the four-letter words. We had a ton in our brain, didn't we? Is she really going to say that word? We're at a national youth gathering. Most likely not, okay? But here we know that we have no business entering into God's holy presence, but by our baptism into Christ, we're made priests through his blood, and we're friends through his promise. Even with all of this, our faith can waver, and we find ourselves utterly weak. So Christ Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to help us in prayer. And get this, he even prays for us. And so it's pretty amazing that God calls us friends. That he, in John 15, we have passage up here. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. That's pretty amazing. We've heard that scripture passage before. But if we thought about it when it comes to prayer, right? No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He calls us royal friends. And then he connects this title to our prayers. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now that is powerful, isn't it? There's nothing special that you have to do. We are sinners. But God promises to hear our prayers and answer them. And that is what is so powerful about that four-letter word that we want to talk about. So it'd be great. Go tell your pastors, hey, we learned about a four-letter word. What word do you think it was, Pastor? It's full of power. And he may be like, Jesus. Nope, Pastor, that's five letters. Try again, Pastor, right? See if your pastor can answer the question. Or your parents, or a sibling, or a friend. And give this opportunity to share with them what you're learning today. So Paul writes to the Romans, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings. Can I get a groan in the room? Oh, come on. My son is here. You can do better than that. Give me a groan. Yes. That is what I hear. We're with groanings, too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in our needs and also in our weaknesses and drives us to pray. The Holy Spirit deals with your groans, okay? The Holy Spirit is there to be like, oh, well, there's Paul again groaning. Okay, well, let's see what we can do here. And gives us the words. Gives us the words to talk to our Father. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Through Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. So we went from friends, we are now his family. And have been given the Holy Spirit who both prays for you and teaches you to pray to the Father. So here we look at, well, who should pray? Who should pray? Now, do I have any pastors in the room? You raise your hand, pastors. I know I got Papa Dose here, okay? All right, Papa Dose. So, Papa Dose, what happens when a group of people get together and you're in that circle? What typically happens? Ah, right? Are we guilty of saying that too? Oh, Pastor, will you say a short prayer for us? Will you pray for us, right? And so when we say who should pray, what do you guys think? Who should pray? Everybody, right? Everybody should pray. It's not a conversation God is hoping to have with us based on our worthiness. It's not only for the smart people. Or the people who use big words. Prayer is not just for people who want to have long prayers, right? It's for everyone. It's a gift from Jesus who himself, along with the Holy Spirit, prays for you. Have you ever thought about that? Did you realize it? They pray for you. And he now invites you to join him with your prayers before the throne of your listening and gracious Father. Now, there's a key word, listening. God invites us to pray. He promises to listen, and he answers our prayers. So God hears you, even if it's not in a formal structure. He knows what you're asking before you ask it. And you can pray because Jesus prays for you. So here I got two columns. Why pray on the left? As I read these questions, I want you to be bold. Raise your hand if you have found yourself, and if you're really bold, you're like, man, I just want to stand up because forget the arm. My whole body needs to stand up for a second. Stand up. If you've ever said or felt these things, are my prayers going to make a difference? Why should I pray? See, you're not alone. Others think the same thing. Good. Thank you for sharing. We'll keep going. What's the point of praying? Why do I need to do that? Why pray if God is just going to do what he wants regardless of my prayers? And why are my prayers not being answered? Thank you, yellow shirts. Yeah, stretch those legs. Stand up. So here we've got some answers for why we should pray. We have four reasons. So read the first reason with me, just what's to the right of the number. Reason number one. All right, who knows the second commandment? We all know Papa Dose does. He's already in the room. The pastor's in the room. We're not going to call on him, right? Come on, confirmand, second commandment, shout it out. Oh, we got to phone a friend. Oh, wow, this is... There's like a slow rumble in the room. You got it? Yeah? I need my microphone for you. Huh? Yeah? Some of y'all getting nervous because I'm entering the crowd with a microphone. Oh, wow. We got somebody back there. All right. I'm not even gonna give opinions. Can you do this? You got this? All right. Yeah, okay.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
Oh, y'all are like, nobody's giving a reaction. Yes. Somebody back here wanted microphone time. Who was it?
Iowa.
I got it.
Oh my gosh, well, say it again. We can have a male voice. We just had a female. Go male.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
There are version. Thank you. That's right. All right. You know, we equal opportunity lenders. All right. Let's read reason number two. Okay. That still sounds like a good reason to pray, don't you think? It's a great reason. It's like, wow, there's like no loss there. That's great. The promised answer. He is going to answer you. All right, reason number three.
Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer.
All right, so let's talk about number three. Is the Lord's Prayer the only way to pray? Oh, yes, I love it. All right, stand up if you want to say other ways to pray. I want to hear you. I see what you bring into the table. Yes, Iowa back here, coming. Come on, we need other states to represent themselves, you know? Iowa's getting a lot of mic time. Say what state you're from.
I'm from Iowa.
Woo! Yeah!
And the common table prayer.
All right, common table prayer. Thank you.
Prayer journal.
Okay, prayer journaling. How many of you do prayer journaling? Very good, very good. You guys are all very quiet back here. I saw a hand right here.
No.
We just saved her baby.
Wow, she denied me. You want to take her spot? She just said no. Anybody else? Other ways to pray?
Morning and evening prayers.
Thank you. Luther's morning and evening prayer. How many of y'all know that that's in your small catechism? You're like, oh, yeah, that thing Pastor gave us in confirmation. Yeah, it's there. It's there, and it's good. You need to follow that.
To personalize it for your own needs.
Personalize it for your own needs, yes. I'm coming. Let's see, what state are we? Oh, Missouri.
I like to use the Johnny Appleseed prayer.
You know what, Missouri? That was well played. We're just going to like want to sidebar into all of our mealtime prayers now, don't we? Y'all are thinking of mealtime prayers. That shark prayer, Batman prayer. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I got you. All right. Hold on. So, we still have reason number four. Reason number four. Great. So God takes the initiative and puts into our mouths the very words and approach we are to use. And many of you stated some of those approaches and those prayers. In this way, we see how deeply concerned he is about our needs. And we should never doubt that such prayer pleases him and will absolutely be heard. Can't work my thing. So here we go. As we pray for God's name to be kept holy, his kingdom to come, and thy will be done, what does that sound like? The Lord's Prayer. We are reminded that though these things happen of God's accord without our prayers, we need him to accomplish them in us and for us. Let's hear that part again. We need him to accomplish them in us and for us. We learn that we depend on him for our daily bread and that all we need to live in this world. We also learn by praying the Lord's Prayer that our sins are not forgiven apart from his mercy, and we cannot overcome temptation and the devil without God leading us and delivering us. The prayer Jesus taught us to pray names our needs and places them on our lips and in the Father's ear. Now that's pretty cool. It's right there for us. Okay? Do y'all know the Lord's Prayer? You're like, yeah, we're at a Lutheran youth gathering. Well, you'd be surprised. Not everybody does. Not everybody does. But we're going to have an opportunity to pray that together before we leave today. So what do we say? The Holy Spirit says to us, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, who loves reading scripture in church? All right, stand up. Tell us where you're from.
St. Louis.
Oh, nice. And your name? We should really care about who he is, right?
Ben, probably.
Thank you, Ben, from St. Louis. Will you read scripture for us?
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Ben. So how many of you are like, I just don't know what to pray? Raise your hand, be honest. Stand up, be bold, yellow shirts, right? Thank you. Right there, on cue. Loved it. So how many of you are like, I just don't know what to pray? Or you're in youth group, or maybe you're on, heck, what I do Zoom interviews with potential students, and I ask them to close in prayer. And sometimes those students, I can tell they've never done it before. Or they say, you know what, I've never closed in prayer before. Because I either ask my pastor to do it all the time, or my Sunday school teacher always does it. But how many of you have never spoken a prayer out loud in front of a group of people? Yeah, you're not alone. There's quite a few of you. And how many of you even may admit that your prayer life with the Lord could probably improve? Wow, those hands went up fast. So my goal in today's session not only was to just get a cool hook to get you in the door to hear about prayer, because let's be honest, would you have come to a session if it was called prayer?
Yeah.
Few of you would have, yes. But majority, my strapping young men in the room, probably not. No offense, dudes, but I'm a boy mom, so I got this. I just know. All right? So glad you're here to maybe hear and be enlightened in what we need to be encouraged to do and have this relationship with our Lord and God the Father. And adults in the room, that we can ask children to pray. We can ask teenagers to pray. And that it doesn't have to be a certain way. But it's okay even to have something pre-written that you read, if it's going to be public or in a Sunday school opening or even at youth group, that's okay too. God knows our hearts. And he knows what's on our hearts and our minds. Does that mean I shouldn't pray to him? God already knows my prayers, Professor Duport. Why should I pray? He wants us to be in conversation with him. He wants a relationship with you. He has created you to be in relationship with other people and with him. He wants to know you. But God already knows me. He knows all the hairs on my head, Professor Duport. He wants you to be in a relationship with him, okay? He wants you to come to him with all those things, the good, bad, and the ugly. He knows it. He wants you to share that with him. And there's a difference. How many of y'all have friends, family? Kessler, you don't have friends. Put your hand down, okay? Maybe two. He was giving me a face. He's one of my students. It's okay. It's okay. He's going into ministry. I got him. This is all preparation. But how many times, thick skin, how many times we think, oh, I don't have to tell my friend that. They already know. They already know me. Right? Or I don't need to tell my mom. She already knows how I feel about that. But I bet you your friends or your mom want you to come and talk to them about what's on your heart and what you're feeling. As a mom, I know what my kids are going through, but I don't really know. But when they come to me to share to me something that I can sense is happening in their life, it means more because they came to share it to me. Okay? It means that they want to be in a relationship with me to share those concerns with them. So that's my example to help you see how God, our Father, He knows your needs, He knows your hurts more than a parent or a friend could. He wants you to bring them to Him. Okay? So what do we say? Holy Spirit's going to give us the words, right? God is so adamant about us making our requests known to Him in everything, which we could say in all things. He wants us to tell Him what's happening in all things, that He gives us prayers to pray in every circumstance. We do not need to fear that we don't know what to pray, because God gives us the prayers in the Scriptures. He gives us these prayers scattered throughout God's Word. And it is specifically in the Lord's Prayer. And it's also in the Psalms. Do you know how to find the book of Psalms? Right smack dab in the middle of the Bible. It's so easy. You don't have to sing the Old Testament song, the New Testament song. You don't have to sing like the books of the Bible to find it. It's just right in the middle. It's pretty awesome. So let's look at how we use the gift. Lord's Prayer and Psalms are the very prayers that Jesus has given you as a gift. You need not be worried about whether or not God wants you to pray. You are the one that He has given the gift to. And with His shed blood, Jesus has reconciled you to your Father, who welcomes you into His presence with open arms to embrace you and open ears to hear your prayers. So like a child with a new present on Christmas morning, take the gifts He has given you and use them in His presence. Because your Father delights in your prayers. So I'm looking for, let's see, we hear the Lord's Prayer, Scriptures, we talk about Psalms, Luther's morning and evening prayer, and the Catechism is another great resource. How many of you in here, I haven't heard it suggested yet, so I'm going to ask. Who in here follows the Acts prayer model? Okay, Pastor Dose, but we're not going to call on him, right, guys? We're going to move on. Thank you, Pastor Dose. Yes. Maddie?
It's Acts, right? Not
Acts. A-C-T. It sounds like I'm saying Acts. Yeah. Yeah, would you mind taking the mic and being Madam Maddie for a moment?
Thank you.
Great.
Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Would you like me to elaborate? Or?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Thank you. all right, so adoration, how do we praise God? Confession, so we start by praising God, confession, then admitting our need for forgiveness and confessing what's on our heart. Thanksgiving is, again, praising God, and if adoring is like, you are so worthy of my praise, thanksgiving is praising Him for what's been given, and supplication is then presenting our requests to the Lord. She called on me because I was one of her first students when she started teaching at Concordia, so this is like a plant.
And she passed. There we go. It was a test, Maddie. It was a test. Very good. Very good. The Acts prayer is a great model as well. And we know that the Lord hears our prayers based on His promise, not based on how well your prayers are written. So there you go. Everybody just sigh with relief. Thank goodness, because we write crappier prayers than our pastor might on Sunday. His are awesome, right? Right? The pastor's prayers always flow magically. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They sound fantastic. So how am I going to pray? So that's what I want you to go away with today thinking, like realizing, is that it doesn't have to be like what you hear modeled to you on Sunday in worship. That's a different style of prayer through through our order of worship. And do we all want to pray like Pastor Keith? Great. I love Pastor Keith. Let's not tell him y'all said that. Okay? But Pastor Keith is going to pray a certain way at Grace Naples on Sunday for the order of worship than he does in his personal prayer time with his Lord and Savior. Okay? So what you see modeled to you on Sunday or Saturday nights, if your church has that style of worship, is a very different type of relationship that your pastor or worship leader has with their Lord and Savior. Okay? It's like it's the public process through our order of worship. And many of those prayers are pre-written, or they spend lots of time preparing for that. And those are taking the prayers of the people to the Lord's feet. Very different process than when you just want to speak to your Lord and Savior. Totally private, right? Relational. Different type of relationship. So how many of you might be more inclined to want to try praying a little more frequently than before? That's good. That's good. And how many of you realize now that it doesn't have to be a certain way? How many of you guys can agree with me that the Lord's Prayer is a great example of our prayer? Who would have thought, right? So here's the key to the Lord's Prayer that's pretty exciting. And when you get this download of the book, it also walks through with you how you could take one petition a day and go through the whole week. And that's really kind of neat. I want to, like, hang out with you guys back here because I, you know, new faces. So it's actually kind of a neat example for you to have that. But one thing that I think really drew at me when I read this resource is that it really got attention of my heart because it said, as you say the Lord's Prayer, you really kind of need to mean it. It shouldn't be that you're just going through the motions because it's what you've done since you knew how to speak and say ball, mama, da-da, right? So it should be something you actually mean. So as we talked about earlier, talking about what does it really mean to say, thy will be done, to lead me not into temptation. Are we thinking about and truly praying in that prayer, this is where I'm tempted, Lord. You know where I'm struggling. I need you to help me here. I don't think I've ever thought of the Lord's Prayer that way when I've been in church on Sunday. Have you? Am I the only one that didn't get the memo? I never thought about my temptations in the church pew on Sunday morning when I'm 17 praying the Lord's Prayer with everybody else. I was just like, oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, here comes the yawn part. Oh, because everybody yawns during the prayer, right?
I don't.
Oh, you don't. That's good. Good. Good answer, future student. Yeah, good answer. How many of y'all yawn? It's okay. Do you know why we yawn? Are we tired? Like we just ran a 5K tired? Yawns are contagious, so watch out. Maybe we close our eyes, focus, yep. We are relaxed. How many of y'all been to the dentist? Do you yawn in the dentist chair? Not because you have to or you have cotton in your jaw. That's what I'm talking about. I yawn all the time in the dentist chair. And they're like, wow, what have you been doing? You're so exhausted. I'm like, no, my body is finally shut down for like 45 minutes to get my teeth cleaned. And so when your body is just sitting and not on social media, not having any other distraction, nothing else is keeping you engaged, you tend to yawn. So Cami Jo just yawned as I looked at her. Yeah, it's contagious. I know. You got to yawn on the airplane to pop your ears. So it's not because you're tired and exhaustion. It's not because praying to God is boring. It's because your body is finally like at peace and at rest. And so if you yawn during the Lord's Prayer, it's okay. It's okay. Your mom might elbow you or stomp on your toe maybe and be really embarrassed that you're yawning in church. But it's okay. It's your body is totally relaxed and is entering into a different type of phase to receive what Christ is giving to you. So it's okay to yawn. That'd be a cool session. Can I yawn at prayer? No. Y'all still wouldn't come. That's okay. So yawning is okay. Now we know why. You learned something new, right? Good. She's like, I made eye contact. No, I'm so in trouble because she keeps talking to me. Okay. All right, let's wrap this up. So I want to talk a little bit more about the Lord's Prayer. So in giving us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us the pre-written prayer that we are to pray. But he doesn't give it so that we thoughtlessly parrot those words back to God. Rather, the Lord's Prayer is kind of our school of prayer. Those are Pastor Bob Hiller's words. I love his words. He says, it is the grammar school that teaches us the language of prayer. It is the launching pad for the rest of our other prayers. It teaches us our need and what we are praying, what we are to pray for. And as we learn to speak the language of the Lord's Prayer, we begin to make it our own. And we begin to see our needs in light of the petitions that Christ has given us. So our prayers, and our lives for that matter, are viewed in light of this wonderful prayer. So, but hear me again. You are free to pray your prayers. It is it's the Holy Spirit who groans for you when you don't know what to say. But you are free to pray your own prayers. But Jesus has definitely given us some pretty sweet models to follow and to abide in for that. So let's close. And then I'm going to give you all a chance to mingle. I want Iowa people to meet Missouri and Missouri to meet Florida and all the other states in between that didn't get shout outs. Y'all need to meet people and have face-to-face human interactions because that's pretty. Let's take a posture of prayer and let's pray the Lord's Prayer. And before we begin, I want you to close your eyes. Not because you have to, but because I think for some of you that might be a new practice. And it's a practice that I want you actually thinking or picturing or imagining. Some of you like to look up to the heavens with your hands out. That's okay too. But we think about, why do we ask small children, you were once a small child, to close your eyes and fold your hands? Limit distractions. That's right. So notice I'm not saying take out your iPhone, start texting your friend and say the Lord's Prayer. That's a huge distraction. So, but some of you, it's okay if you want to raise your head to the heavens and your hands are outlifted. There's different ways that we can pray. But we are going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And we may get to a part where we might hear different words coming out of our neighbors that are around us from different versions. That's okay too. Just like the common table prayer really isn't common. Some of you had to think about that, right? There's different ways the common table prayer is going. All right, so let us start the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.